This message you're about to listen to was recorded live at the Redeemed Christian Church of God, the Throne Room Parish, Transcorp Hilton, Abuja. Be blessed as you listen.
I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 12. Let me read from, before we go to the book of Genesis, from the book of Psalm 26. We're continuing with the series we started on Wednesday. I'm going to do a recap because this is a fuller house. And it's so important, as we've said several times from this pulpit. Please, don't take for granted every word that comes out from this pulpit. Every church has an angel. Every church says to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write. The angel of the church of Philadelphia, write. To the angel of the church of Smyrna, church at Corinth, Ephesus. Every church. And the altar is the meeting place where God blesses the spiritual community, as we're a community here. The altar is the meeting place between humanity and divinity. And therefore, every instruction that God releases from his altar must be taken seriously. Every prophecy must be taken seriously. For you to be blessed, for you to be blessed in this church, you must believe the word of God coming forth from the altar. Very important. When we said people many times come to Wednesday service, is so important. Some of us neglect Wednesday service. It's not as important or as ceremonial. It's not as ceremonial. It's not as ceremonious as Sunday service. Most of us like ceremonies. Wednesday service is as important as Sunday service. Midweek service is very, very important. God is not more on Sunday and less on Wednesday or Tuesday. Every time we meet, God is here and God is strong and powerful in our midst. And therefore, you discover that most of us have not been able to reach where God expects us to reach. Not be able to express the glory of God in our lives to the extent to which God desires, because we limit ourselves when we limit the word of God. I want to please tell somebody, this series is not something that you joke with. This is going to form it's going to propel many. It's going to be a platform to propel many to the zenith of their calling in him, in the precious name of Jesus. I commend you unto God and unto the word of his grace that is able to build you up and give you an inheritance amongst them which are sanctified. This is what the word of God says. The word of grace that is able to build you up. And also secures your inheritance. It's very important. The word of God is the key. And if you are here It's so important that you follow what God is doing. Every community is at its own different level of development. That is why I can see that the church in Smyrna and the church in Philadelphia, they have their own peculiarities, their own anointings, and also spiritual development. The word that you need here now could be different from the word that is being preached somewhere else. This is how God has designed it. A little there, a little here. A step there, a step there. Small here, small there. You begin to build up your life so you begin to see the bigger picture. It's very important. Very, very important. Therefore, please, I would like every one of us, a bona fide member of this church, or even a visitor, it's God who has brought you here, to connect with what God is doing at this time in the precious name of Jesus. And for us, at this time, we'll be taking on a series which we started on Wednesday, The Blessings of Tests and Trials. I want us to open our Bibles to the book of Genesis. I'll just try to recap what we did on Wednesday, and then we'll continue from there. Praise the name of the Lord. Is anyone excited to be in church this morning? To be in the presence of the Almighty God? The Spirit of God is one and is here. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Psalm 26, verse 2, it says, "Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart." Proverbs 17, verse 3, it says, "The fining pot is for silver, and the furnace for gold, but the Lord trieth the heart." Today we'll be looking at a character in the Bible called Abraham. And we're looking at what happened in his life. But before then, may I just briefly, we'll talk about tests and trials. They are connected and all at the same time disconnected. But may I just tell us something, just to give us a background about trials. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. It says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." As though some strange things happen unto you. It says, "But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." Can someone help me say exceeding joy? "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, it is evil spoken of, but on your part, it is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf." James chapter 1 verse 2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials." And I want to say temptations, trials. "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have a perfect work, that it might be perfect and entire, lacking nothing." Lacking nothing. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says, "That ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." This is a message that is not preached in most pulpits. We go through trials. Your faith will be tried. Every system must be criticized. Jesus Christ gave, when he was given the parable, he said, a man built his house on the sand, another one built his house on a rock, and then three inimical agents came to beat upon the house, to try the house, to try the building, if it be good enough to be a dwelling place. The wind came, the rain came, the wind blew, the storm came. Three agents, they beat upon the house, and that which was built on the sand collapsed. The one that was built on the rock, the solid word of God, stood. And therefore did what? Fulfilled the purpose. Trials. It says, count it not strange when you pass through trials. As Christians, don't count it as if it's strange. It's not something strange. When you go through sufferings because of your faith. Trials are part of the menu. When you want to suffer, I say, do not suffer because of sin as a murderer, an evildoer. But if you suffer as a Christian, happy are thou. Many people are going through trials, and we have summarized every trial in the Christian's ways as demonic. People go through trials and just give it a name. It's the demon of this. And they begin to do warfare. The Bible did not say you should do warfare when it comes to trial. It says rejoice. Rejoice. If you are being persecuted in your home, your office, it says rejoice. It says for the trial of your faith, work it out patience. And let patience have a perfect work, that it might be entire, lacking nothing. If you want to enter into God's inheritance, that he has ordained for you, it takes patience. As silver in the fine pot, as the gold in the furnace, that is how God also tries our heart. Why? So that you come out. You see, when gold is passed through the fire, the glory changes. It becomes more precious because all the impurities will have been taken out. The value of gold dust or gold ore is different from a refined gold. God is taking some of us through some path so he can refine you. When you suffer as a Christian, he says it's not the time for you to begin to do all night. He says what? Rejoice. It's a very difficult thing, but that is what the Bible prescribes. It says rejoice. It says, rejoice. I do not know what you are going through right now. It's time for you to rejoice. Even though it is strange. The value of gold that has passed through the process is measured in carat. When you want to buy gold dust, they measure it in kilograms. One carat could be equivalent in cost, just one, to a bucket full of gold dust with all the impurities. God is trying you. For passing through hard times, rejoice. He says, for the Spirit of God and glory rest upon you. Anytime someone comes to meet me and tells me and say, my boss has not allowed me to travel abroad because of my faith as a Christian. All the Muslims there, they have already, they've done. Let us pray. Let them begin to fall down and die. No, that is not the time. There's no need to pray. I will tell the person, go. The Bible says, rejoice. The word of God cannot be broken. Hallelujah. But after trial, then you have the glory. I see you laying hands on your inheritance. It says, oh, my people who are in Zion, do not be afraid of the Assyrians, for he shall smite thee with a rod and lift up his staff against you like the manner of Egypt. And yet, for a very little while, this indignation shall cease, and so will my anger and that destruction. And it says, and I will stir up a scourge against him, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Horeb. And as my staff was upon the sea, so will I lift it up in like manner. And it says, and it shall come to pass in that day, that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulders, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He says this indignation is not going to last forever. The Bible calls them light affliction. Cast not thy confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. Don't give up. Instead, rejoice. The nation might be going through some trials now. Rejoice. Rejoice. I say rejoice. If you suffer for Christ. This morning, we'll be looking briefly at trials, tests. How many of us know that God cannot promote you without testing you? How many of us know that? There's no how God can promote you without testing you. Every promotion is preceded by a test, by an examination. And I want us to look at a man this morning. We'll start today. On Wednesday, we'll continue. I'm telling you what, some of us will lay hands on our inheritance. You don't understand what I mean. I said, you will enter into it. When the people of Israel left Egypt for 40 years, God was testing them. They failed several tests. And therefore, they remained. And those in the wilderness, they remained in the same place. God cannot promote you beyond your present level of obedience. It's not possible. Most of us are saying, promotion, I take it in Jesus' mighty name. That is not how God promotes when it comes to the things to do with your destiny. Things to do with your inheritance in him. It takes a process. Check it from the scriptures. From the book of Genesis to Revelation. In the life of Moses, it was a process. God had to take him through a process. The life of Abraham, which we'll be studying now, was also a process. The life of Isaac was a process. The life of Jacob was a process. Jesus Christ passed through a process, 30 years, for him to step into glory. 30 years. He did the work for 3 years and he entered into the fullness. An expression of the fullness of the Son of God. Most of the time, when we see Jesus, you know, we go to some churches, Jesus is still hanging on the cross. That is not Jesus. During Christmas, we see Jesus as a baby. That is not Jesus. That was Jesus in process. Jesus in process. The glory of Jesus after he had learned obedience, as the Bible says, through the things that he suffered. He entered. Listen, the dimension of the glory of the Son of God can never be compared to the dimension of the manifestation of the glory of the Son of God when he was right here on earth. John saw it. He says, whose hair is white as snow, as white as wool. He says, whose eyes are like fire, whose feet are as brass in a burning furnace, who is dressed in a white robe with a golden girdle, from whose mouth came the double-edged sword. He says, whose voice is like the sound of many waters. He goes again and says, whose countenance was like the sun in his highest. Can you look at the sun at 12 o'clock? That was the glory of the risen Lord when he entered into an expression of the manifestation of his inheritance. It cannot be compared. Can't be compared. Listen, when they left, what people, what we are talking about blessing now, is just blessing on the move. It's not talking about your final resting place. They left Egypt and was going to the promised land. God gave them manna from heaven. He brought quail they ate. He protected them by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But that was not their final destination. Even though they were enjoying some blessings here and there, water came out of the rocks. What they wore never grew old. Their shoes, no wear, no tear. But that was not the promised land. Test. He said, God tried their hearts in the wilderness and saw that they could not pass. Therefore, some of them perished. Let's look at a man this morning called Abraham. God tested him 16 times. And I want us to learn from this man. Open up your Bibles to the book of Isaiah 51 from verse 1 to 2. It says, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seeketh the Lord. It says, look unto the rock from whence ye were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye were digged. Look unto Abraham, your father, and unto Sarah that bear you. For I have called him alone and blessed him and increased him. He says, see, look from the stock from where I have taken you from. Look at Abraham, thy father. He It says, him have I called and blessed and increased. He says, see a sample of what I can do with an ordinary mortal. Take a look at a sample of what I can do with a man. What was it about Abraham? What was it that made Abraham so thick that God referred to Abraham as his friend? James chapter 2 from verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I see two powerful things here. He says, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Listen, Abraham, another version says that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted for him for righteousness. In the Old Testament, when Christ has not paid the price for justification by faith, Abraham, before the law was instituted, was far ahead of his contemporaries. What was it that God saw in Abraham and called him righteous? He said it went into his account as a righteous man. What you and I enjoying today, Abraham tapped into it even before the law was instituted. What was it about this man? Remember, the Bible says that your righteousness is as a filthy rag before God. Our righteousness is because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ that is incorporated in us, that gives us a right standing with God. And therefore, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 30 says that Jesus himself has been made unto us righteousness. So when you believe upon this, you believe in the Son of God, you become righteous. You have a right standing with God because of the work that Jesus Christ did on your behalf. But Jesus Christ had not come. Jesus Christ was to come thousands of years before. And Abraham tapped into the future. And God says, Abraham, you are righteous. Not only are you righteous, Abraham, you are my friend. Some of us are singing today, I'm a friend of God. I'm a friend of God. I am a friend of God. In the Old Testament, can you call yourself a friend of God? You'll be stoned to death. How many of us know that one of the reasons why they tried to kill Jesus was because of that tendency? John chapter 5 verse 18 says, therefore, the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but also that God was his father, making himself equal with God. Not because he was saying, God is my father. They said, kill him. Crucify him. How can you say God is the Father? You have diminished the quantum of God. You have diminished his quantity. How can you say that God is your Father? And yet they sought the more to kill him. But in the Old Testament, God recognized that Abraham was a friend. What was it about Abraham that, oh my God, what was it about him? Not only that, in the book of Galatians, and we saw that also from the book of Genesis, from chapter 11, 12. Through the scriptures, we saw what God said about the blessing. He says, Galatians chapter 3, verse 13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through faith, through Jesus Christ rather, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Where would Abraham have no blessing? Was Abraham a generator of the blessing? No, it was God. What was it about this man called Abraham that God will have to call his own blessing and tag it Abraham's blessing to a man? Not only that, we also saw in the scripture, the book of Genesis chapter 22, verse 16. And also we saw it also in the book of Hebrews chapter 13 to 15. That when God promised Abraham, he said, by myself I have sworn, saith the Lord, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could not swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely I will bless thee and multiply. In multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Have you seen that? God swearing over a man. God wanted to swear over Abraham. Hey, may God swear over my life. My God. What was it? Listen, the Bible says that God wanted to swear over Abraham. And it was because when you swear, you use something that is greater. He was looking for what to use. What am I going to use to swear to Abraham? So that this oath that I've spoken to him will be binding and irrevocable and irreversible. What am I going to use? He looked for he could not find someone greater than him. Therefore, the Bible says that he swore by himself. For God to swear by himself over a man called Abraham, there must be something about this man. If you look at the progression of when God met Abraham, Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2, 1 to 4. Genesis 12, hallelujah. Is someone being blessed this morning? Oh my God, listen very carefully. You will reach your final bus stop. You will get to your final destination. Never be satisfied with all the blessings you see on the way. The wilderness. Much more awaits you when it comes to the issues of destiny. It takes a process. All these Jesus Christ, sharp things. It's not true. Jehovah, sharp. One thing that God wants to do for us is to give us his balanced word. Oh my God. I see someone entering into the fullness of what God has ordained for him. That amen sounds weak and paralyzed. What you are going through right now as trials, what you are going through right now as tests, cannot be compared to the glory that will appear. And I see you entering into your glory. Oh, if you believe, come on, shout a big hallelujah. Shout a big hallelujah. Somebody say, I rejoice. Thank you. So we saw the progression. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 2, 1 to 4, how God told him that he was going to bless him. And make his name great. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless you and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. We saw that reconfirmed again in Genesis chapter 13 from verse 14 to 16. You can study. We saw that again, progression number 3. When God spoke to him again in Genesis chapter 17 from verse 2 and then from verse 4 to 10. And then we saw progression number 4, the culmination of when he got to the optimum of the test. And God says that in multiplying, I will multiply thee. In blessing, I will bless thee. I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies. He added one more. It says, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because you obeyed my voice. Hey. I want us to know something this morning. That before Abraham got to that point, when we check through the scriptures, you will see 16 tests that Abraham passed for him to be promoted. 16. And as I said earlier on, God cannot promote you beyond your level of obedience. You pass this test, you open some door, you pass another one, you can be having, asking for husband, asking for wife, and you can be having all those things. But I'm talking about inheritance. Oh my God. Maliske broduski salati. God will make you great. Oh no, I say God will make you great. Make you great. I say God will make you great. Whatsoever God needs to bring together for you to enter into the fullness of your inheritance, he will do it. I say I see him doing it. In the precious name of Jesus, let somebody shout a bigger amen. Amen. Let somebody shout a louder amen. Amen. Everything that God needs to connect, your wife, your sons, children, your job, your home, your matrimony, your professional pursuit, your career, everything, everything that God needs, everything that needs to come together so that you'll be well cooked. It's not when you put in, have you tried making soup before without salt? You have fresh pepper? It could be imported tomatoes. But if something is missing there, it can't be complete. Hallelujah. Everything that God needs to introduce into your life at this point, to introduce into your destiny at this point, to make you come out as something that is glorious and palatable in his kingdom, I declare in the precious name of Jesus, make him begin to do it. Yeah! Let somebody shout amen. Yeah. Entering into that dimension. Praise the name of the Lord. Now see. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first test. Genesis chapter 12 from verse 1 to 7.
Still trying to recap what we did. And we continue from here on Wednesday. Hallelujah. He said, now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abraham departed. The book of Hebrews chapter 11 says that Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he will afterward receive for inheritance, went, not knowing where he was going. So Abraham left the all, left all and Haran for an unknown destination at God's direction. Do you know what it means for you to move a 75-year-old man? I was telling them on Tuesday, I said, when my father retired from the bank, after having worked in the bank for over 40 years, or thereabouts, I remember we were there when they were doing, celebrating him. As after putting in many years, I was still very young at that time, he had worked with people like John Major. I'm talking about those days as cashier when it was Standard Bank. And he rose to be the SMP for some part of the North above the manager. I remember those days, even as managers, when people used to come to my house and I thought people loved me so much. When they come here, take this. Some people were laughing. When I told them on Wednesday, that someone say, hey, take this and buy granite. And what they will drop for granite can buy 2 trailers of granite. Is it really for granite? I'm talking about managers of those days who could give loan. Not the kind of managers we have now that cannot give loan. From Standard Bank was what became Frost Bank. When he retired, and we have stayed in Jaws in the North for a very long time, and every time he tell us, we are moving home, we are going home, we are going to Ogumosho. He had built a house there many years, but to move was a problem. We are moving next year. We are moving next year. Next year, we are moving. Then I discovered it's so difficult for someone to move at that age, because at that age, you had grown with the city. With all your network, your friends, like some of us now, for example, when, say, just move. Not like a young man. A young man can move anytime. I gave you a report of what I did several years ago. How I will leave the house, leave the campus, and just travel without my parents' consent. Without that permission, I would just go. I was going when I had that accident, the terrible accident I had with my father's only car. It was his own personal car. He was sleeping. One of my friends just said, let's go and just bubble there in Zaria before the man comes back. Before he's gone out now with the other car, before he comes back, we calculated. He's going to work right now at least 2 hours to Zaria and 2 hours back. We were foolish. We're not calculating in to in. We just said that 2 hours, 2 hours to come back. By one, we'll be back. No problem. Then how do we get money to fuel? Don't worry, we'll just pick some people on the roadside. And then, let's get this thing. My father's 505. Before he got the Benz 200, those days, brand new from Pan. So we took the car. I was speeding. That day, rain came. We didn't have money to buy fuel. The people who collected on the road were asking them money before landing. We said, please give us money quickly so we can put fuel. By the time we got to Zaria, Even the girl we went to look for had gone out with another man. When we looked at the time, I said, Shola, see time. To one. Just about, we left down. My father was going to kill me today. We just got the car, started speeding, 170. And it had just finished raining. As I was going in, today is the day I'm confessing before my mom. My mom is in the church. She didn't know what happened that time. This was many, many years ago, over 20 years. I was going, sharp, bam, bam. I was just overtaking, bam, bam, bam. Hey! As I was, I never knew that one man was just, the car was stationary on the road. One guy, one mullah, he was just trying to offload. Near Subanzaria, Haba Malam, he was trying to offload basket of tomatoes. I did not know because I was speeding. There's a difference for you looking and seeing. I wasn't. Before I knew it, I just, I know. I know, cars those days, no ABS. As soon as I just pressed the brake, the pedal, it just locked. The car was doing, I just saw people coming out. I was trying to adjust the car, and it had just finished raining. I just went and hit. God just helped me. I would have been dead. My friends, one of my very good friends, died on that same road. See, teenagers. So, I had the axe. I just went and hit the man. Wah! I came out. I said, oh God, let this be a dream. I was trying to wake up. I was trying to wake up from the... No. This is not... When I saw my father's car, I said, oh my God, I'm in trouble. And you know, I come from a home where I have five sisters. Big sisters. Trouble. Big sisters. Five. And my father had gone out that when he came in, he didn't see us. Where is they had gone? He had called the commissioner of police. They're looking for us all over the place. He had called my sister in South Korea, called this one there, called everybody, said, this person, when did he leave the house? We have not seen him. Hey. Somehow, God helped us. We tried to get the car out and did some. And I look at the time. It was around 6-7 o'clock in the evening. By the time we were coming in, my friend said, please, I would like to drop here. I said, drop what? We must go in together. My father had gone round. And our house is such like, you drive in. It was a close, landing close. You had to drive in. And when you drive into that close, you open up the gates. Right? And you now, there's like roundabouts in the house. You now drive around. So when we got there, my father just saw, I saw all my sisters, everybody outside. Hey, so where are these boys? We came in. My father saw this side of the car. He said, see them. With all my sisters. By the time I went around, and then, all my hard NPR came down that day. They abused me. Different. I did not know what to do. My sister's useless boy, you've gone to destroy that this car. You, another one will call me useless boy. I've always warned you. Another one will call me stupid boy. What are you going to do? That was the same way how I went to Maiduguri from Jos. What am I saying here? As a young man, you can move easily. But as an old man, it will take, to move an old man is not easy. And he says, Abraham, move. He says, dislocate yourself from here and relocate yourself to the place. Not only is it difficult for you to move someone who is old, people move for several reasons. If there's a greener pasture somewhere, people will move. Even the old people, they will consider, am I going to, it's not too late for me. This brain drain, people are going to Saudi Arabia. It's too, I'm something, let me just stay in university. I'll just, there's no, they don't need for me to go anywhere. People move because of famine or because of trouble. Some people move from Port Harcourt because of militant. They are now in Abuja today. Some of them are in church today. Thank God for them. And then when Boko Haram came with bomb, they're looking, oh, where are we going to move to now? We moved from Port Harcourt to Abuja. Now with the bomb, where are we moving to? If you go to American embassy, where the people are preparing to fly out, long queue, visa, America, Canada. So when there's a problem somewhere, people find it easy to move. And now Ebola, where will you move to? So it's one thing for you. Abraham was an old man. God asked him to move. Even though he was comfortable, he was rich in cattle and rich in gold and silver. He was comfortable. There was no famine in the land. There was no drought. There was no war. But God asked him and said, move from thy country. Move from thy kindred. Move from thy father's house. Disconnect all your connections and move. Not only did God say move, but he was saying, telling him, saying, move to the place which I will show you. That is just moving blindly. Uncertainty. Not many people can move that way. The Bible says, Abraham went. This was the first test that God gave to Abraham, and he passed it. Can I say something to you? Do you trust God with your future? Are you willing to make God part of the decisions that you take for your future? The Bible says, trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on thy own understanding. It says, in all thy ways, acknowledge him and he will direct thy path. Is God part of the plan of the future? The first test is handing his entire life into the hands of God. I will go, even though I do not know where I'm going. But you said move, I move. He passed that test. That was the number one test that he passed. Is God part of the plan for your future? Have you implicated him in the plans that you have? Is he your Lord? Abraham passed the first test. You will pass your test. Praise the name of the Lord. 16 steps, 16 tests that the Lord tested Abraham with. On Wednesday, don't miss the service. Don't miss Wednesday service. God will speak to you expressly. You will be formed in him that you become unshakable. Put your hands together and just bless the name of the Lord. For God has been faithful. Go ahead and bless him. I say, go ahead and bless him. Let somebody say, Father.
We believe you have been blessed by this message. To download this message, please visit our podcast at The Throne Room on your handheld device or computer. For any inquiries, call 08087-000004 or visit the Life Center at number 20 Colorado Close off Dame Street, Maitama, Abuja. You can also visit our website, www.rccgthroneroom.org. You are highly lifted, highly favored. Thank you.